Good morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. I am going to be with you for about 55 minutes today, and I do want to pay close attention, please, today. You know, sometimes we have fun shows and political shows and theatrical shows, and today could be a life-saving show. We're going to be discussing, it's not a yuck-yuck show, it's a very serious show. But it's a show I think we all need to hear and learn from. I'll just give you a quick preface. It's on traumatic brain injury or brain injury. And it's Brain Injury Month. And I have two people that are on that, in full disclosure, the good-looking guy with the gray hair. That's when I cut mine off, brother. Is my second cousin, Mark McNeese. And Cynthia Cardelli, Brain Injury Association of Massachusetts. Quickly, I ran a violent youthful offender program. And upon leaving, more started coming about troops coming back from the various conflicts with traumatic brain injury. When I read about that, I had so many of my young youthful offenders manifesting the same characteristics that you see in traumatic brain injury. So Mark and I and Cynthia and a whole bunch of others are on a crusade to have kiddos who should be tested just get tested. It will save a lot of time, a lot of money, and most especially will probably save a life. So without further ado, foie gras, soup du jour, I would like Mark, I'm going to let Cynthia kick it off because she said I was chivalrous. I feel good about that, but I must tell you, Cynthia, you would not let me join the Fourth Degree Knights of Columbus because that came with a sword. So just believe it at that.
All right.
Cynthia, tell us about yourself and your organization. It's very important we know.
All right, absolutely. So I'm Cynthia Cardelli, and I am a resident of Pittsfield, Massachusetts. So also work at the Brain Injury Association of Massachusetts as our director of programs and services. So basically what that means is that I oversee all of the programs, the services that affect individuals in particular. So whether it be a brain injury survivor, a family member, a friend, professionals. So I have staff here in Pittsfield, in our Pittsfield office. I have staff in our Westboro office. We cover the entire state. Wow. And I go between the two offices, Pittsfield and Westboro, to spend time and work with various staff and individuals in those locations. We have been around since 1981, and I think, Bill, you're going to love this part of the story. So basically, we began with a bunch of moms sitting around a table having conversations, unfortunately, about their children who had suffered traumatic brain injuries. Oh, yeah. And the fact that there were really no services at that time for this. And so together, those moms decided we need change. And I always say, as a fellow mom and strong female, you cannot keep a mama down. If her kid is hurt, she needs to make sure that she is getting everything that that child needs. And so our organization came out of that. And the Brain Injury Association of America also came out of that. Oh, wow. And so they actually followed us, but were incorporated the year before us. But it was one of our founding mothers, Marilyn Spivak, who was behind all of that. Wow. And I just had the pleasure last week of being in D.C. with Marilyn and several other staff from the Brain Injury Association, various brain injury associations across the United States for Awareness Day. We were on Capitol Hill meeting with Representative Neal from right here in the Berkshires. He is a great guy, and we got some great photos in his chamber and out looking at the Capitol building. Great conversations. We were heard. We felt validated in, you know, speaking up for what we needed. So that's just kind of the quick capture of who I am and what brings me here.
I want to get this out because we'll repeat it. So we are a morning show, so people are in and out, getting in their car, putting kids on the bus. There's a brain injury conference on the 26th and 27th of this month in Marlborough, Mass. So
Yes.
if you're interested, we'll get you some phone numbers later or emails, whatever. I'm trying to squeeze one of the days, but, you know.
Okay. That'd be great.
Yeah, I think it would be. And Mark, your story is rewarding as it is tragic.
Yes, it is. Thank you. I'm Mark McNeese. I'm a brain injury specialist. I do screening for traumatic brain injury or acquired brain injury as well for ALC, Alternative Living Centers. We're a substance use rehabilitation facility, residential and IOP. We've screened almost 155, I believe, clients so far, with about 148 being positive of significant traumatic brain injury. So we're starting to screen in high-risk populations, as we're now screening at Second Street. I'm screening at Second Street. This reentry program is fantastic for them to reach out and want to do this. Just the awareness is unbelievable.
We have to take our hat off to Sheriff Bowler and Jason Tyler for having the vision to able to see how this is tied into rehabilitation. Excellent. I didn't mean to interrupt you, Mark, but I had to say that.
No, yeah. And well, so with Cynthia, I've known Cynthia now for 15 years, I believe, 2010 maybe. And I'm a brain survivor. I've had multiple brain injuries, 15 documented. But they began when I was run over first time when I was 12 years old. And then, you know, football, fights, run over a couple more, two more times, falls, you name it. And the problem was back then you didn't, brain injury was not recognized. So I the age basically from 12 to 37, it was kind of like figure this out on your own. And you get diagnosed with different mental diagnoses, medications. I was introduced to the brain injury, thank God. So when I was in a psych admin, it was after a suicide attempt, actually, where finally someone listened and they asked the Brain Injury Association to come and talk to me. And that changed everything. That was 15 years ago, and that changed the entire game. Helen Stewart, Cynthia was there and sent Helen Stewart to me while I was in the psychiatric unit. And like I said, that changed the game. What she told me that day was everything I had been experiencing for 25 years that nobody was listening to. And quite frankly, the self-medication pretty much, I mean, that changed all of it. You don't need it when you know what's going on. And that's the point of this screening now, especially early recognition, early childhood recognition, because you see the youngsters get concussions and multiple repetitive blows from athletics or skateboarding or snowboarding or a lot of these vehicle accidents that just once they have it, they treat it like it's a singular event, and it's not. We know brain injury is a singular event. It's a chronic lifetime disease. And screening, especially at an early age, I mean, we see when you're young, your parents are making a lot of decisions for you. You're in a routine. You're in a structure of school. Decision making's being made, so you don't have to use your full cognition. So we find a lot of folks as they get older.
Excellent point.
Finding out about the spiral of I can't keep up with paying bills. I can't keep up with work. I don't know why I can't take care of my kids today. I don't know why I can't get out of bed. And it's just not going back to what should be looked at first, physiology. Like, look at the physical first, and that's what we're starting.
Right.
Cynthia, you were going to say something.
Yeah, the you're good at picking up those nuances.
I've been doing I work for the government. I was trained by the best.
I'll say. So thank you. I was just going to say that, you know, Mark is a perfect illustration of our mission, really, which is to create a better future for individuals with brain injury, their families, through advocacy, education, prevention, research, and support. He checks each of these boxes. We have a longstanding relationship. As I was mentioning, I'm a huge fan of him and all that he is doing and the connections he's making. We recently started going over to the ALC, both locations, to meet and and do what we refer to as a free kind of outreach program that teaches you a little bit about our organization, but also brain injury. And so it's called the Scope of ABI, and we're willing to do it anywhere in the Berkshires or otherwise. People just simply need reach out and we'll schedule it. But the nice part about this is that, as Mark said, when he's doing these screenings, we're finding that many people have potential risk of exposure to having had a brain injury. And so they're learning. And I will say that it was predominantly gentlemen, maybe 10% females in these two particular sessions, that were not only really receptive, but again, those aha moments of, oh, I didn't realize that these actions or behaviors might be connected to our brain injury, rather than people like, judging, putting a judgment and placing a judgment on some of the behaviors and activities that are not necessarily things that they intentionally are doing or causing. And so, I value that relationship. I'm glad that every few months we'll be going and doing that again.
That is great.
It's helping really spread the word. And I found out that we have a recreation event this Friday that's happening in honor of Brain Injury Awareness Month, and several of the guys are coming. So I'm really excited about that, because normally you feel like you might catch one or two people and make that aha moment, and then they share that information. But in this case, this relationship is opening the door for so many people to understand the support that we can provide, and that we're not like a lot of other state agencies, because one, we're not a state agency, we're a small nonprofit, but also we aren't looking and saying, we've got to fill out an application and I need to see your brain injury card. What we're saying is, if you walk through the door and you say, I think I have a brain injury, I have a loved one with a brain injury, I want to learn about brain injury. Either way, we're helping you. And what we do is for free. So you're not proving, you're not offering. And we're between Berkshire Mountain Bakery and Sarah's Cheesecake.
I know you are because
Right.
I haunt those two places quite a bit.
Yeah, right. A lot of people do, and they walk by and don't realize, oh, I might want to stop in there, because really, anyone, anywhere, anytime is not a cliche statement. It's accurate. Anyone, anywhere, anytime. Doesn't hurt to equip yourself with the knowledge and ways in which you might be able to prevent brain injuries as well.
What I saw in my experience with youth, violent youth
Yes, yes.
for young people under 18 to end up in a penitentiary, their crimes were extremely violent, and murder, whatever. But reminiscing, thinking back, they manifested all the things I've read about trauma. They did drugs, they joined gangs, they did crazy things, all the stuff. But I think the important part that I would like to continue working with you and Mark and your team, I want this to be enacted in law that any child or children that are sentenced to any juvenile detention, adult corrections, be tested for brain injury.
Oh, yes.
We had one meeting with a local, not a local, state politician, and he's very receptive. Mark can fill you in on that. And I think perhaps we need to craft legislation and present it.
Absolutely.
And I'll be willing to support, Mark knows this, support both whatever your endeavors are. Because
Okay.
I'm thinking of some of these youthful offenders who are still in the penitentiary. The other thing, they're doing life on, Mark will tell you from his experiences, life on the installment plan, and no one ever seems to. And Mark nailed it, the physiology of these, and many of them, and I'll be
Absolutely.
quiet after this, many of them incur their brain injuries because of abuse. And I would like to have
Exactly.
every child that goes to DCF be examined also. That's
Absolutely.
my wish. And we have to become proactive.
Oh, Bill, you're speaking mine and Mark's love language. We definitely need to be proactive. And the thing is that right now we're playing catch up for many years of not having proactive, right? We're
You're
reacting.
100% correct. You're 100% correct. I don't know if you remember Dr. Michael Fabrizio.
I know the
He was
name.
a pediatrician here for like 46 years. Half of Pittsfield had him as a blurb. And he wrote a blurb in there about brain injury too, about damage to the early on. And some of it can be just kids falling down, whacking their head.
Right. That's the piece too. And I'll let Mark speak to this, but I will just highlight it and preface it. But people do not factor in. I say this, and I mean this sincerely in my personal opinion, that there's really no one on the planet who hasn't had a brain injury. When you're a child learning to walk, you fall, you bang your head, you do all of these things. Maybe you haven't had the one that makes the big impact that really alters your life, but maybe you have. Nobody's ever diagnosed it. Many of these things happen, right? Even the simple act in a car when we're jerked back and forward, whiplash, you know. I was a kid in the 70s. In the 70s, we weren't calling it a brain injury. We were calling it head injury. I was in multiple car accidents. My mother was by far the worst driver on the planet. And I had, you know, neck brace and whiplash. And when you look back and you know what we know today, these are brain injuries. Now, maybe I haven't had one that has prevented me from working or doing a lot of things in my life, but there are things that I know physiologically about myself that are the result of those injuries. And we don't necessarily think about that until we're educated and we learn. And Mark, I know you do a good job of kind of explaining the repeat and the repetitive nature also in what happens.
Please, Mark.
Yeah, sorry, it cut out on me there for a second. I
Ah, your
forgot.
connection.
But yeah, I mean, and Cynthia and the Brain Injury Association, as we start to screen in these high-risk populations, and we're seeing, of course, environmental, the way people are brought up, the physical abuse, the poor environments, trauma, throw genetics on top of it, just to know the physiology of all of it, like Cynthia was saying, something as small as, yeah, you look good, you can function on high levels on certain days, but then you get into brain fatigue from repetitive brain injuries, you get into sensory overload, flooding from lights and noise, and it's these things that people let, it's those little things where they have to continue to work in society. We're in a heavy cognitive, fast-paced world today, so it's even more so on the cognition. So they start to alter, medicate, and it's basically because they don't know. And the great thing with Cynthia and Brain Injury Association is there's not a lot of resources around here. They are our resource. They are our community resource. So it's great we can screen people here and educate them while they're in our program, but they're not going to be in our program for the rest of their lives. So we hook them up with Brain Injury Association, and they have neuro resource facilitators, and they are our community co connection. They have great support groups and that sort of thing. So as they leave our high-risk populations, Second Street, you know, like where they get support, they
Gotcha.
need that community outreach people, and that's what Brain Injury Association is.
Oh,
They
thank
edge
you.
like with me, they were all we I had from education. They trained me, they sent me places for talks. I mean, they were my support. So, and then the thing with brain injury is if you don't have a brain injury, you really don't understand what exactly is going on. So to have people that just know is a huge deal, right? So
Absolutely.
yeah, and again, some are nefarious in nature, some are you just fell off your bike and whacked your head. You got up, your mother put ice, I'm just thinking of myself. Your mother put ice on it. You didn't have two heads a couple of days later because the swelling went down. But I don't want to make light of it. I want people to buy, don't say, oh, I never had a brain. You don't know. I mean, unless you're off the wall out there, getting, like Mark said, using substances to adjust to make your world fit you, rather than getting what's wrong with what something's not right with me. What is it?
And you know, I think that there's still, unfortunately, a stigma. When people hear the brain, they equate it to intelligence. And so, therefore, Some people feel that if you admit that you've had a brain injury, somehow your intelligence is compromised.
You're right.
Well, let me tell you, that is the extreme opposite of the reality.
Yeah.
And so the woman that Mark mentioned, Helen Stewart, was a former nurse here in Berkshire County
Yeah.
for many, many, many years. She retired recently from our organization, but still does some things with us, thankfully. One of the smartest women you'll ever meet. A pretty significant brain injury later in life.
Wow.
Living proof that it is not impacting intelligence. And she's just one of the
Yeah.
thousands of people that we work with. And, you know, I think Mark, again, part of what makes Mark's lived experience so wonderful and so poignant is his not only resilience that we know exists with brain injury
Exactly.
survivors, but also his ability to be open to trying things, to learning. He was very receptive from the minute that I met him and he walked through the door here in our, you know, Elm Street office to what do I need to do? What do I need to do to get to this next point? I want to be certified as a brain injury specialist. Help me. Each step of the way, help me. And then the nice part is that
Right.
he's always walking alongside us. So we're walking together each
Yeah.
time, saying, okay, now I'm here. What can I do? I'm going to pull
Yeah.
in, right? He's pulling us in. And so this reciprocal nature is something that many people experience when they come through the door. They're not expecting, you know, what they get. I think that a lot of times people think they're going to get stiff state entity type of
Right.
behavior, and they get warmth and support and love, unconditional love that we're here. We get it. We want to help, right? And
Ooh.
so I
Yeah.
think that that piece, I always said to Mark, oh, let me at him. You let me in the room, and we'll be able to make sure we can charm the pants off of anybody here. We want to make sure they know and learn about brain injury. So we have programs that can go into schools and educate children. I was in Westboro yesterday at the Westboro High School with over
Wow,
500
cool.
students sharing prevention programming. We have a Brains at Risk program that kind of works in the reversed. That's for offenders of roadway infractions that their probation officers send them to our program, and they learn about the devastating effects and
Yeah.
how hopefully we don't want them to be doing it again, right? Texting and driving, drinking and driving, excessive speeding, road rage, all of these things. So every facet of an individual and the ways that brain injury can impact, we're trying. You mentioned our conference. It's our
Wow.
43rd annual conference. And yet
Wow.
there are still people that don't even know brain injury exists,
That's right.
right? And here we are, 43rd annual brain injury conference.
And some of them are professionals in their field.
Yes. Yeah.
I would reach out to the Bar Association and see if you can put on
Yes.
a thing for the Bar Association.
Yes.
For guidance, I could see you guys doing a, what is it, when they take the teacher, once a teacher of, not evaluation, teacher training. That's all I can call it. Listen, if you have a kid in your class who's doing X, Y, and Z, you might want to have the kid tested.
We've actually done that in the past, particularly with Dr. Alan Kohlberg, who was
Oh,
another local
yeah.
pediatrician and they, you know,
Great
testing for
guy.
concussions. He
Yeah.
is a great guy. He was my older children's pediatrician for many years, but trying to make sure again that people understand
Yeah.
the impact, right? And so not just think that this kid has behavior issues. Maybe there's something going on that's challenging because of a brain injury, right? We're just saying, could it be? Could it
Could
be,
it be?
right? Could it be a
Let's
brain injury?
eliminate that and then we can work on other things. But if that's the main physiological thing going on in this kid or adult's body, then
Yes.
let's work with that rather than go, like Mark said, and I don't want to mention a group that I deal with, but pills can't cure everything.
No.
Or and I can attest, and Mark can attest, neither can shots of Jack Daniel.
Right. Right. And sometimes they
Right.
harm
Right.
more than they help, right? And
Well, that's
it's masking the helping.
exactly. And what you guys are doing, and why I got behind this with Mark and his colleagues over at the other place, was that they're making a difference in some of the most tragic lives people have.
Yes.
As I said, I'm a Vietnam veteran. I live each day to the fullest because I remember those that will be forever 19. So
Right.
when I hit the deck hard and I hit the deck running. I'm in my late 70s. Thanks for not noticing. It's a, I kind of a not a brain story, but it is kind of a brain story. My first experience at the VA in Northampton, the guy was kind of obnoxious. That greeted me was a non-veteran and found out I was a Vietnam veteran and asked me to sit over there, or told me to sit over there, keep my mouth shut, and they'll call me when they wanted me. Well, and I informed him that I didn't have a real long fuse before I went to Vietnam. I don't have any fuse now, dude. I think what you're doing, it's enlightening to people, because I'm not even sure a lot of, and I mean this professional, I don't think a lot of perhaps docs realize, maybe pediatricians, but other docs realize, wait a minute, this guy's, maybe he's got a brain issue.
And nowadays, unfortunately, I mean, doctors don't have enough time the way they used to, right? You used to get a nice hour-long appointment. You'd actually have the doctor listen. Sometimes they'd even come to your home. And now we're
Oh
lucky if
yeah,
we
I
get
can remember
10
that.
minutes and they don't really remember you because they don't have time to have that type of meaningful connection and appointment anymore.
And
And
this
so
is
many of them
forming,
don't know.
and this piece of equipment that we're using right here called a lappy-toppy, that's far more important today than you, because they got to get it right on the record.
Oh yes. Oh
Right.
yes. There is a program that I thought of right before we went on to this Zoom today. I thought, "Ooh, I have to talk to Mark about the fact that we do sorry, someone's at the door. So
Oh.
here's living example, but the other staff is going to help." I was like,
That's
"That's why
fine. That happens all the
I
time. It probably was me getting mixed up with the pizza shop.
Now she's coming to see us. It's one of our support group facilitators. But what I, even though I lost my train of thought, here's brain injury at its finest, right? Boom, it's gone. I think what I was trying to say was a program that I thought of when I was just before this was we have a program called the Unmasking Brain Injury. And it is something where individuals with brain injury come in and they make a mask, a literal mask, a piece of art that remains with the Brain Injury Association. And they travel all over Massachusetts to different locations. But it's such a poignant example of the trauma that you feel from a brain injury. And so we have some that are very ornate and scary, even when you look at some of them, because it's how people are feeling. So they write a small paragraph about how they felt from their brain injury or how they currently feel, depending on the timeline. And it's something that I think, Mark, we should be considering with the guys because I think it's so powerful, right? When you learn about brain injury, you're learning all the things you're teaching them at the ALC. We're coming in, we're teaching them a little bit more about brain injury, the support that we can offer. But then to do something where you never thought you were artistic and yet you can be. And there's no right or wrong, right? So again, we have a lot of veterans that have done this because they're saying again, like, we had these traumatic brain injuries happen. And again, they're not all considered traumatic from a medical standpoint, although obviously they are all a traumatic experience, right? But a stroke would be considered a non-traumatic brain injury. So, I think that again, there's just so much that we can do in so many different ways. Sometimes people are turned off by a support group because I'm someone who doesn't like to talk about my feelings. I don't want to come and I don't want to hash that out. Okay, well, maybe you want to join us for a recreation event that's something fun and enjoyable, and we're not touchy-feely talking. Maybe you want to be educated. Maybe you want to come in and make a mask,
That's
just
a
come in and
great.
have a cup of coffee and chat. Get to know us, build that trust, right? Mark mentioned our neuro resource facilitators. This is something that we fought for many years, our CEO, Nicole Gadare, and I, to get more funding from the Massachusetts Rehab Commission, now MassAbility, to say we need to have some of our staff trained to walk alongside the individual who sustained a brain injury or their family to help them. So we say in the past, here are the resources, right? We'll help you some, but we're asking people who are having cognitive decline to do something that they are challenged by. So now with this program, we help you. So it could be, as an example, I'm working with somebody and maybe it takes us 6 times to complete the statewide head injury program application. So what? It takes us 6 times. Yeah. We're acknowledging and supporting the way you are. And like Mark can speak to, some days you feel like you can conquer the world and other days you don't want to get out of bed. And there's right. no rhyme or reason oftentimes, right? So there's just so many things we can do. And like you were saying, awareness, right? We want to enlighten people.
I think that's Absolutely. My, and Mark, you know, Mark through the Alternative Living Center, and all the work they do there, letting more people know there are resources. You don't have to live in the shadows or live in the bottle or live on the joint. There are resources that you can use and go to, and they're
Absolutely.
Not, and this is the most important to me, they're non-judgmental.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
As Mark has walked through the gates of hell and come out on top. But,
yes.
but through that gates of hell, through those years, he's gained valuable real life, not some textbook guy saying, you know,
right.
if you didn't use a straw when you were 3 years old, you'll never be able to drink milk. You know, some stupid thing like that. Mark has lived the life and he's recovered. And now he's got a standard, he's a standard bearer for helping others. And as you are, Cynthia, as your group.
Yes, thank you.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, you kind of, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. You guys are like the best kept secret of the war.
So that's why I think this too, unfortunately. Moment.
And I, as I promised Mark, and I promised the people at the ALC, I am behind you. I will support you. You will be a part of my power, what I call power rotation, people that I bring in every 4 to 6 weeks. Because
I love it.
That important that we mm-hmm. keep, because people, now they're gone. They're on their way to work or somewhere.
Right. Yeah.
But.
And Bill, I want to thank you because it is something that a lot of times we'll speak to a group and then they don't invite you back. It's an uncomfortable topic for a lot of people. And so, you know, good friend of mine, Smitty Pignatelli, used to always have me every year on his radio show because he knew the importance, like you're saying. And I think that, again, knowing, you know, like the relationship with Mark, it's wonderful when you can, because sometimes today we may only impact one or two, but that's one or two people that then branch out and tell right. other people and are aware. And so the more frequently that we're able to get the word out is in fact an opportunity for more and more people to know exactly. and not wait so long to get the help that they need, right? People wait 20, 30, 40. I mean, there were some men
suffer.
We met
they
with
suffered
that were,
20, 30, 40.
Right, they suffered, exactly. And they didn't need to. And they were misunderstood.
Oh. Right.
Suffered and misunderstood. And so there is no judgment at all.
And
it
I
is,
think that's,
wanna help.
I'm sorry, I mean,
no, it's
on.
Okay.
I think that's important. We get that out, especially addressing kiddos and teenagers.
Yes.
Because I will tell you, going back, I would say 85, maybe 90% of them had IEPs.
Yep.
But because of their behavior.
Oh, yeah.
And I would also say their labeling.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't get the full advantage of an IEP, not that their brain injury would have been discovered or anything like that, but they would have felt better, I think, for themselves. But and we got to take a break because I babbled on too long. But we'll come back. This is listen. It's not the nicest show, the happy go lucky, But I'll tell you, it could save a life. So, and
yes,
you don't know by listening to this show who you may interact and affect with and get them the help they need. We'll be right back. This is WTBR 89.7, 89.7 FM on your radio dial. We're also broadcasting in Southern Berkshire now, and that's even giving us more width and breadth of this. And
excellent.
On FM 88.1. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. This is an important show, so please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM. You're tuned to Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield and 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
Missed an episode of your favorite show? Have no fear, because we have podcasts. Type in WTBRFM.com/podcast on your favorite browser and search for your favorite show. It's that simple.
Need help with a new device? PCTV's Digital Navigator can match you with a free laptop, desktop, tablet, or hotspot from our available stock, thanks to the Alliance for Digital Equity. We'll also assess if your current device is worth fixing or ready to recycle. Get a free consultation at PCTV 4 Federico Drive, Pittsfield, or call 413-445-4234. Brought to you by PCTV and the Alliance for Digital Equity, keeping communities connected.
Larry Kratka here on WTBR, and I want to tell you about my show, Sweet Country Music. Now, every Sunday morning from 11 a.m. until noon, I'll play some of the best classic country artists like Merle Haggard, Dolly Parton, Johnny Cash, Patsy Cline, and many more. I'll play nothing before 2008. Please join me Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. for the next edition of Sweet Country Music here on 89.7 WTBR-FM for the love of radio.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back, WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
We are back. I am here today. It's a fascinating show. Mark McNeese, he's a brain injury specialist. Cynthia Cardelli, she is the director of the Massachusetts Brain Injury Association. And we're talking, they got a big deal coming up, and I want to tell you, we'll tell you again. On the 26th and 27th of this month in Marlborough, Mass., it's going to be Mark and the whole ALC team, Alternate Living Serving Group, Center Group, will be presenting and implementing brain injury screening in the SUD. Mark will explain that, what that means, setting and discussing neuro-informed care approach.
Yes.
This is really long. That's why you have to go, because the host is too old and his eyes are too old to read it. But Mark, tell us about, first of all, let's tell us about concussions.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you know, a big thing with screening is 75% of brain injuries are of the mild nature, mild traumatic brain injuries. And that's the majority of people. Like, what's so important about screening in the high-risk populations is you hear oftentimes, I had a bunch of concussions when I was young, playing football, playing sports, skateboarding, yeah, snowboarding. And what people don't realize is that's a brain injury. Whether you lost consciousness or not, and especially accumulation of these, once you've had one brain injury, you're three times more likely to have a second. Once you've had a second, you're eight times more likely to have a third. And then it's on. You're more susceptible to brain injuries. And that means every concussion, right? Like when I was 12, right. I was run over for the first time, but then I played football 6 weeks later after the bones healed, right? So then concussion after concussion, and you didn't come out back then. So what happens is 75% of these brain injuries are the mild nature, which are concussive, and they accumulate and you never really heal from them. You start tend to have issues with like sensory overload, with lights, with language, with people talking. All of a sudden you get fatigued by having a conversation. You hear a lot of times people like, I can't talk on the phone. Could be because they have a brain injury. I can't hear on the phone because of a brain injury. You know, it's this accumulation of mild traumatic brain injuries that leads to that, like CTE with football players. You hear that often. That's repetitive blows. They just keep on getting the concussive blows and subconcussive blows, just regular hits to the head. Once you've had that history of concussion or that brain injury history, now those subconcussive injuries, heading the ball in soccer. If you've had three concussions, and you're still in the season, you're heading the ball. Those are making an impact. And what you find is screening for brain injury, self-reporting screening for brain injury is the gold standard for screening. So let's say I have a history of mild traumatic brain 50 concussions, whatever it may be, I can perform in society for times, for periods. Now I go in, I get a CT scan, MRI scan, something like that. The imaging, it's not going to show up on that imaging. So that's one more step towards improper diagnosis. That's one more step towards this person who's suffered from these overstimulation, sensory overload, cognitive behavioral problems that are below these levels that CT or MRI are picking up, or EKG or EEG. But the standard there, you self-report with the screening, you get the history of brain injury, and then hopefully there's things like a neuropsych evaluation that can actually pinpoint those mild traumatic brain injuries and the deficits you're having in cognitive behavior, emotional. And that's why you're seeing in these high-risk populations are these people with so many and such a robust history of brain injury that it's just not being picked up. And it's these slight changes in their cognition and stuff that leads to you start manipulating your neurotransmitters now with the alcohol and drugs and masking the symptoms, performing out there in society off the fuel of bad fuel, but it's a fuel that works at the time because you don't understand what's going on or what's wrong. So it's so critical to get this history of brain injury for screening and then go through the follow the appropriate channels in the medical world and let your doctors know, primary care physicians, I have this long history of concussions or football or boxing. And it's amazing how many folks don't realize what a brain injury is. I can be on my third time talking to someone and they'll be like, yeah, that's it. But then I'll say, you didn't have any sports? No. Well, I boxed until I was 35.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Well, that or means, Mark. Right. Yeah. Or they'll say, oh, no, I don't have a brain injury. I just bumped my head. Oh, no, I don't have a brain injury. And not understand even the mechanism of the way your brain is and the way the skull is around it.
There it is.
Right. Yeah. And then you add, of course, the helmet. Or they'll say, I was wearing a helmet. Helmets prevent certain things, but not others, right? So the helmet is, again, like that, another barrier that is going to lessen the impact, but it isn't necessarily going to save you from, right? Just like we say, you should always be wearing a seatbelt. It doesn't mean that we're going to be completely safe. It means that it's keeping you in place where it needs to be. So there are ways to prevent the severity right, to prevent brain injuries, but the severity. And then, of course, you know, a lot of people, we were talking earlier about traumatic brain injury, right? So what is brain injury? An insult to the brain that has occurred after birth. It is not hereditary or congenital. So people will ask that question. Yeah. Literally, you're born. And from the minute you're born forward, we have people that come to us that find out that they were a victim of shaken baby syndrome.
Okay. Yep.
Very okay. Much. And so again, you know, these individuals have lived for many years not knowing, right? We had such an individual recently share that in their 30s, 40s, a conversation with mom where someone had done this, lived his whole life not knowing. That was who he was. Right. This is who he lived being. And yet to not have a name placed on something. And so even we've had individuals say, I felt so isolated. I felt so alone. I had no way of knowing. Yeah. I thought something was wrong with me, right? And it's like, well, actually, no, this wasn't the essence of you. This was something that happened to you after birth, right? Like you were saying, Bill, at the beginning about making sure that there's some legislation to say, right, at a minimum, let's question, let's ask these questions so that we can support. And then you make the choice. Some people say, I don't ever want to go to the doctor. I don't care what the doctor says. But if we can help you learn strategies for the impact of your brain injury, even if you don't go to a doctor, you can have a better life than not knowing. We can help you get the answers, and then you do with it what you desire. No one's forcing this on you. We're just saying it looks like you do have a history of, right? You walked in saying, no, you don't. Now we know you had 6, 7, 8, 12 scenarios that equal brain injury exposure.
And here's what you can do and will help you.
Right.
If you want our help. If you want to walk that door and never come back, that's you. But now you know you have these brain injuries and brain events. And I just think I'm a big one. Knowledge is power, and power over yourself is the best knowledge you can have.
Absolutely.
Know your, if you have a traumatic, however you got it, doesn't make any difference.
Right. No. Right.
And you'll find a lot of, another thing we come across a lot is like Cynthia was saying with the, you find a lot of people, well, I had it when I was really young, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
Well, I had that when I was three, or I fell out of the second story when I was three.
Right.
People really, they need to realize that, number one, if you've had an early childhood brain injury, it was during the development. Number two, it can reset your cellular timers. As we've said, it's not a singular event. So if you've had brain injury in your youth and your cellular timers get reset, when you're 50 like my age, and I've had the history of brain injury I had, some of my brain cells think I'm 85 years old from those impacts from when I was young. Yeah. So that's where you look at dementia and the neurological diseases start happening. So to know and recognize what happens, these car accidents where people are like, I didn't hit my head.
Right.
Well, you were going 50 and you stopped and your brain inside. So once they understand these things, now they can start preventative things for neurological decline as well. Exercise, keeping weight down. Like we know belly fat, leads to, you want. So there's all these steps you take in realizing what you have for a history. So
And again, the fact that your brain.
Mark, I think, sorry.
Go ahead. No, go ahead, Bill.
I think what you're bringing out is so important, and a belly fat. You didn't need to get personal. I've worked on
it. I knew you were going to go there.
It didn't come overnight, you know. This is a work in progress. But what you're saying is so dead on. And the other piece that I'd like you guys to pick up on, there's no stigma with this. There, you know, everybody's afraid. Oh, what if they found out I have a brain injury? What if they do? What do you care? Are you better? Can you deal with it better? You know, I'm at the age, obviously, I do this program. I do care what people think. I don't care what they say. There's people I have on this program that I probably wouldn't go out and have a coffee with, but they have a right to be on this program. This group here today is my invitation. I am committed to getting the word out on this thing that has haunted so many people and in some cases ruined their lives.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, help is there is what I'm telling you. If you're listening or you know somebody or a spouse or boyfriend or girlfriend or somebody that you think manifests perhaps the characteristics associated with a brain injury, then by golly, pick up the phone or go down to right next to South Mountain, down there on Elm Street, knock at the door and go in. I'll be next door in the. I can't.
You'll be having some good pastries.
Yeah, well, they like me as a sampler. But seriously, so many. I think it's really understated in the number of brain injuries that people yes. have in our society.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, when Mark was speaking about brain development and the person saying, you know, oh, when this happened when I was three, no big deal. Your brain is developing until you're 25. So any impact through the age of 25 has impacted your brain development, right? And our brain is truly our most valuable asset.
Yeah.
The most valuable. You can do nothing without a brain. And so therefore, right, you know, we find that people will say, you know, oh, my cholesterol's high. What can I do about it?
Yeah.
You mention a brain injury and it's like, whoa, that stigma. Now, it's not a stigma for people like Mark, myself, you know, those that are connected, you, right? The stigma isn't there. We're saying it's another right. thing. We're not trying to minimize it. We're trying to normalize the fact that this is something that many of us live with and don't know. And then many of us live with it because we learn strategies to live with it, right? We have numerous people that have shared their lived experience with us, that they've written books, they've done podcasts, they've done, you know, documentaries, they've done to teach you. And so again, it's not just the rich and famous, it's the regular, those of us that are the regular peeps walking around. That, you know, I'm a chicken. I don't do things that are going to get me nervous and scared. I'm not skydiving and doing all these other things. But, you know, there are people that are interested in that and think, you know, I'll be okay. Well, yes, maybe you'll be okay. But let's take the necessary steps to protect you in whatever you're doing so that there's less of a likelihood of this occurring.
Right.
That's another piece I think people need to keep in mind. It's an underestimated and I think undervalued experience for many people in that, you know, helping and working toward how do we improve your life? How do we, right? And you said knowledge is power. I completely agree. Yep. The more you learn, the more you can do better.
Right. You have to take the, we can talk to you, we're blue in the face, but until you take that first step and do the assessment,
right.
It, and then find out one way or the other that you may have. And think if you don't have, think of the burden that's off your shoulders.
Right.
And if you do have, think you just kicked open the door wide open to get all the help that you possibly could need and the camaraderie and people like Mark McNeese, who've been through this. He can tell you the very lows and he can tell you what it's like to be today part of the solution, no longer the problem.
Yes, exactly.
You know, Cynthia, what you guys do down there, and again, it's on Elm Street. It's in that little strip mall across from the Pink Church. Pharmacy. Take some time. Even if you have a question.
Yes.
These folks are open to questions. The door does not lock. You can open it and close it.
Absolutely.
There are all these people that, you know, you said it. They probably have some brain injury from childhood. From what Mark, I could never buy into soccer, but that's just me. I think soccer is a great sport and kiddos. But and so many falling off bicycles when I was a kid, everybody fell off their bike at least three times.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know,
climbing trees. We did all these things, right? We weren't behind the computer.
His father and I had a coach, and I won't mention his last name. His first name was Coach. And he was an old grumpy old guy, a Pop Warner. And if you took your helmet off or you were not paying attention, he'd fire a football at your head.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Not that he ever did it to me.
Right.
Or his father. But anyhow, we will leave it at that. Could you give a 10,000 foot glimpse, Mark, of this thing in Marlboro, this event coming up?
Oh, the conference. Well, it's Cynthia's conference, Brain Injury Association. But what we're doing there is we're presenting on our ALC program and implementing the screening tool in substance use disorder. But yeah, Cynthia is. This is her.
Tell us about it, Cynthia.
This is my largest work project. Okay. So Mark's presentation is one of, I believe, 28 workshops that occur, as well as a keynote presentation. Wow. And if you're someone who's coming to our pre-conference on the 26th, when that ends, we have a reception that we will be having a individual viewing of her 18-minute documentary. And so she will be doing that. She was I'm just looking up her name so I can get this piece right. But we have that. And then the next day, our keynote is part of the BU Aphasia Book Club. And so we have a panel of individuals between professionals and lived experience sharing. So there's a lot of really wonderful, it's jam-packed 2 days, lots of information. It's great networking. There are survivors, family members, professionals in the industry. Many of the local brain injury providers out this area come to and exhibit. So we usually have over 20, 25 exhibitors where people like to go and get their pens and new marketing materials and things. But the... yes. The documentary is Jamie Mo Crazy, professional skier, TBI survivor, and motivational speaker. So she's coming. We're going to do a viewing. We always have some wonderful food. We love to feed people at the Brain Injury Association. So any event we have, Bill,
you know how to get me there.
Consider coming. Right. You know,
I'm on a reduced income now.
Come. But so it'll be a great time. And, you know, the other piece that that I personally love about working for the Brain Injury Association is the fact that, again, we're just such a warm, supportive group of individuals. Right. And so you will see that we become like family, and Mark has lived it. So he knows I'm not giving false information here.
Right, right.
We welcome you in and we want to support. We truly want that. And so I can't say it enough, you know, come. Most of the time people come back and they want to go again and again and again. And like Mark, he first attended as an attendee. Now he's presenting a workshop. We've had people that have done that and have become the keynote for the conference, right? So again, constantly learning, and with that knowledge, with the own tools that they have and this loving, warm support, your life can be really rich in so many ways.
Thank you both for coming on. I don't want you to take this as a threat, but I'll be in touch.
All right.
Please, folks, what's a good telephone number they can get a hold of you about the conference?
So they could call 508-475-0032.
All right.
You can go to our website as well. So
all I can tell you is thank you so much. This will not be your first and last time, I promise you.
Excellent.
You're probably going to say, if he calls, I'm out of the office, but that'll be me. Mark, thank you, brother. You're an example to so many of us. And to all my listeners, and I know this really upsets some people, but I got your text yesterday. It was hateful. But God bless you and everyone. And today, lift somebody's burden. Make them laugh. Give them a phone call. Cheer them up. Let them go ahead of you in line. We're all in this together, and we need each other, because it's a tough world if you're trying to make it alone. Thanks, guys.
Absolutely.
I promise you'll be back.
All right. Thank you.
Who knows? If you look up, Cynthia, I don't want you to get scared. If you look up and I'm there in Marlboro with my backpack, it's just Tupperware inside.
All right.
God bless everybody. Talk to you soon. Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
Very great show. Thank you.